We're going to start at the Mishnah at the bottom of Kaf Hamubet. Hatemed. Okay, first of all, what is temed? A few different opinions. Let's just assume temed is, it's water with some of the dregs from the wine in it, like from the grapes that had sat. So it's water with some of the dregs. The question is, what's its status? So ad shelo hechmitz, until such time that it ferments. So right now, let's assume it's just some dregs with water and there's no fermentation. Eino nikach bekesef maaser. Okay, what is this? Money of maaser sheni. You use to purchase produce, and it has to be also, if you're going to purchase something, it has to be something that was made from something else, like wine from grapes, or animals that live off of the fields, okay? But it can't be just water, okay? Water can't be something that you would purchase with maaser sheni money. Uposel et hamikvah. Okay, what is posel et hamikvah? This is a mikvah needs 40 se'ah. If a mikvah is less than 40 se'ah, and you add to it 3 log of water, and that can posel a mikvah. But only if it's, okay, even a measurement of 3 log of water, which is not a lot compared to the 40 se'ah in the mikvah, that if that 3 log, if you add 3 log of water, once the mikvah is a mikvah and it's got 40 se'ah, you can add water. That's what we do. It's called hashaka, where as long as the mikvah water has to be rainwater, but once it has a minimum amount of rainwater, it can then have other water, and that's what we do nowadays. We have regular water and they touch, and therefore since the base was 40 se'ah of rainwater, that's fine. But it can't be what we call mayim shuvim, water that came from somewhere else, not rainwater. So now, if you add, though, if it has less than 40 se'ah, the amount of water that will, of non, right, mayim shu'uvim, non-rainwater water that will mess up your mikvah is 3 log. So now, let's say you have this water that has, if it's not water and it's 3 log, it doesn't possel the mikvah. Okay, it just gets canceled into the mikvah waters. Since it's water of a certain amount, that kind of amount of water will possel it. But if it's not water, it's not. So here, obviously, since we call this temed before yechmitz, water, we're going to say that passes a mikveh if there were 3 log of it. Misha yechmitz, but once it ferments, assuming if it ferments, then nikach bekesef maaser. So then you can purchase it with maaser money. Now, what happens when you purchase it with maaser money? The kedusha of the money goes onto the water, which is now fermented water, and it leaves, the coins are now not sanctified anymore. Remember, the coins had sanctification because you put the sanctity from your fruits onto the coins, and now you're transferring the sanctity onto the fruit. So if you do that earlier, it doesn't work because you use them for something that wasn't, you couldn't buy it. But now, once it chmits, you could. Since this is called wine, it doesn't disqualify the mikvah. Okay, second case. Now we need some background. If you remember from Masechet Shkalim, what did we learn? People brought a machatzit shekel to the mikdash, and then there was a fee that they had to pay, like a commission fee. Okay, you go purchase tickets online, you have to pay a commission fee. So when they gave the machatzit shekel, there's a bit of a debate. Did anyone have to do this? If you give an exact machatzit shekel, did you? It was basically called like a money transfer fee, because even the opinions that say even if you gave a machatzit shekel exactly, there had to be, they didn't carry all the machatzit shekels. They transferred them into bigger money to bring to the Beit HaMikdash. It's too schleppy to take all those coins. Some people say, no. It's only if two people shared a machatzit shekel and they together gave a shekel, then they each had to add this fee. What was the fee? It's called a kalbon. Kalbon is 1/64th of a shekel or a machatzit shekel. Now I forget. It's 1/64th, you can see there what it says, I forget, but the measurement is 1/64th of, I think, a shekel, okay? So, do you have it there?
It just says there are a lot of different opinions.
Okay, about what, how big it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. The basic opinion is it's 1/64th of, I forget whether it's of the machatzit shekel or the shekel, it's probably of a shekel. Okay, so it's a very small amount, but you have to pay this kalbon. So now if you have ha'achim ha'shutafim, you have brothers who got inheritance from their father, and they split up the inheritance, and now each one owns half, let's say, but they're partners in the house that they own. They kept the father's property together, but they're partners in it. Kishachayavim b'kalbon p'turim imaser behema. Kishachayavim b'maser behema p'turim in a kalbon. Okay, so in a case where they're chayavim b'kalbon, they'll be patur from maser behema. If they're chayavim b'maser behema, they'll be pturim min ha-chalbon, min ha-kalbon. So what does this mean? If they're, you're going to be chayav kalbon, okay, the rabbis institute, they had to add this extra fee. If two people put, let's go with the basic, the two people who pay a machatzit shekel, they pay a shekel together, two halves, they have to add each a kalbon. That's only if you're two separate people. So if the achim are shutafim, then they're two separate people. If it's a father for a son, then you don't have to add the kalbon. It's like a family rate, okay? So if the brothers didn't yet split the inheritance of the father, and then they're paying their machatzit shekel from the father's inheritance, it's basically like the father's paying for them, in which case he wouldn't need to add the kalbon. Okay, that's the kalbon part. So in the case where they've actually split it, then they don't have to pay the kalbon. If they haven't split it, they don't. And it's the reverse is true for maaser behema. Because in maaser behema, you're not chayav on inheritance. So there'll be patur. Maaser behema, I forget now what the issue is. The maaser behema is... right. You're not chayav maaser behema if you own things jointly. Okay? Because it says, yiyelach. Okay? And yiyelach is actually said in the context of bechor. Okay, there's two, right? There's bechor of the animal, and then there's the maaser behema. You have to take 1/10 of your animals. Those are two different things, right? Bechor is the oldest one that was born. In the context of the bechor, it says yiyeh lecha, but there's another pasuk from where they learn that even shutafim have to do bechor. So they say, well, it can't be talking about that. It must be talking about maaser behema. And because of that, they say yiyeh lecha, only lecha, not jointly. So therefore, in the case where the shutafim, they're chayav and the kalbon, because they are each individual. But since they're in a partnership, they're patur from maaser behema. And the reverse will be true. If it's all just the father's inheritance, they haven't split it yet, then the kabon, they're not chayavim, but they are chayavim maaser behema because it's basically owned by one person. Okay, now the Gemara continues and says, Mani matznitin, lo Rabbi Yehuda velo Rabbanan. We're going back now to the Tanit. Okay? This doesn't seem to follow, not Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbanan. I charted out this on the page. De Tanya, here's a braita that talks about Tanit. Hamitamed, then right, that's the verb. He makes this temid mixture. He puts the water over the dregs. Vinatan mayim bimida, umatza kede midato. You put mayim in, you put exactly a measurement of water, and then you realize that it hasn't changed at all in its measurement. You measure it again, and it's the exact same measurement. So what do we basically say? You're patur, okay? Here you're going to say it's basically water, and you're patur from taking maser. Because if the claim in this braita is that if it hasn't changed the volume, then basically it's no different than it was before, and it's considered water. Rabbi Yehuda machayev. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're chayav. Okay? So he's chayav. He calls this, now he says, basically, what his claim is, it adds taste. Okay, this goes back to what we've seen before about taste and all of that. This adds taste to it. So because it adds taste, even if it doesn't have volume, we don't care. It has the flavor of wine, so therefore it's going to be, yeah.
A Rabbi Yirmiyah question.
A Rabbi Yirmiyah question, yes.
Wouldn't they have already done Moshe Truman these grapes?
Yafeh. So the Mefarshim talk about, good that you asked, because I forgot. They say this is only in the case that you didn't take Monstrot earlier on the grapes. Okay? So, right, if one took maaser on the grapes, you're set. But let's say you didn't, then you would take it at a later stage, because again, they haven't yet eaten it, so in theory, you still have to take maaser until such a point that you eat it. So, good question. Thank you for asking. Okay. Mane. So now, who does our Mishnah go like? E Rabbanan, if it's the rabbis, they all go by volume. It doesn't matter, right? Afagav dichmitz. You're not going to be chayav. And our Mishnah said, right, once it's machmitz, it's considered wine. And then you'd be chayav in maser. And I Rabbi Yehuda, af agav de lo hichmitz, right? Our Mishnah said it was all about did it ferment or didn't it ferment. And this has nothing to do with fermenting. It either has to do with volume or taste. So now we're going to see Amarav Nachman, Amarav Nachman, Amarav Ravua, bishi hichmitz machloket. Our Mishnah, we're now going to say their machloket in the... their machloket is all in a case where it was machmitz. Okay, so the machloket in the braita is actually in a case where it actually fermented. In the case where it didn't ferment, they would all agree you're not chayav b'masro. And that matches our Mishnah, because ad shelo achmitz, you don't need to. Remember? Ad shelo achmitz, we're going to consider this water. So now they're going to say, oh, the Brayta was only talking about once it already ferments. Before it ferments, obviously nobody thinks you're chayav ma'asrot, which matches our Mishnah. After it ferments, what did our Mishnah say? You're chayav ma'asrot. So who's that going to match? Rabbi Yehuda, who is mechayev in the Brayta, okay? Umatniti in our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. So that's what you would say. You'd say the machloket in the Brayta was only mishechmitz, okay? V'chein am Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina mishechmitz machloket. And likewise, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina says it's the machloket's only mishechmitz. V'am Rav Nachman am Rav Ravua, another statement in the name of Rav Nachman and the name of Rav Ravua about temed. Temed shelekacho bekesef maser. If you purchase temed with maser money, okay, but it hadn't yet fermented. But you did anyway. Remember, you're not supposed to do that. But let's say you did it. Ulivasofichmitz, and then down the road, it did ferment. So at the moment you bought it, it wasn't fermented, which you would think, according to our Mishnah, it's not valid, right? You're not allowed to do that. It's not a valid sale. In other words, the maser, the kedusha doesn't leave the money. The kedusha is still on the money. And the temed doesn't have, the kedusha status. But according to Rav Nachman, if levasof ichmitz kana maser, if ultimately it does ferment down the road, even after you purchased it, then the maser was kone, meaning now your fermented wine is hekdesh, is kodesh, and your coins are no longer. My time. What's the reason? Igali milta lemafrea. Retroactively, it gets proven that retroactively, when you did the sale to Perihu, it was actually fruit. Okay, even though at the time you bought it, it wasn't. But since later it is, that reflects previously on the fact it actually was fruit. Ela matnitim. So now we have to reconcile this with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah dekatane hichmitz in. Lo hechmitz lo. Our Mishnah said it all depends on whether it had fermented at that point or it didn't ferment. And it doesn't say, right, Dilma, maybe you should say, Ishav ke hava machmitz, that if it hadn't yet been machmitz, and we said it's pator from Maser, but maybe it's not pator from Maser, because maybe down the road it will ferment ultimately, in which case it'll have been chayav in Maser from before. So we're going to have an answer now by Rabba. I'm a Rabba. We're going to have two answers. I forgot to put that in the both answers here. Anyway, I was doing the sheet quickly. I'm a Rabba. Kishashiyer mimenu bekos velo hechmitz. Okay? Rabba says, the case of our Mishnah is, you're going to be pacha from maser under one important condition. You have to leave over a little bit of that wine to make sure that it doesn't ever ferment. Okay, so, that water with the dregs you have to leave over. Then you'll be pator from maser. In other words, if ultimately it never ferments, then you can be sure, then...
How can you guarantee that it's never going to ferment?
There's a technical question. No, I assume that at a certain... I assume that there's a time limit. It doesn't exactly discuss it here, but I assume it's like we saw the other day. If you're not going to learn after 5 years, you're never going to get it. If it's not going to ferment at a certain point, it's never going to ferment. Okay, right, like yeast or something, right? You've seen that where it's just bad and it's not going to happen. So that's the assumption, okay? Rava Amar, a different answer, which is probably a better answer, because to say there are Mishnah means that you have to leave over a cup and wait for a while to see if it ferments seems like a strange answer. So Rava says, no, you could just say, Hamane Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Okay, we're going to say, our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Ditznam, what does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say? Here's the Mishnah Mikvaot. Okay, we're back to our three log of water. And at what point do we count this as water? And we say apostles the mikveh. And at what point, remember, the mikveh doesn't have 40 se'ah. Three log, we're going to apostle the mikveh. Less than, right, three log of something else will not apostle it, only if it's water. So again, we're going to have a case. Three log of gimel logim mayim, chaser kortov. Okay, they're missing a teeny little bit. Okay, oh, you know what? I messed it up. The kalbon is not 164th, the kartov is 164th. My mistake. That's why I couldn't remember what it was 164th of. You're right. The kalbon, I was confusing the numbers. The kalbon, because they're both a small percentage of whatever it is. Kalbon is a certain
and they both start with
amount in it. Right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Sunday morning. Okay. So the kalbon is not 164th. Erase that. Okay. Three log of mine that are missing 164th of a, so now it's 164th of a log, right? It's of a kortov. No.
A kortov is the 164th.
Of three log or of a log? It's 1/64 of, what do you have?
Of a log.
Of a log.
Which
okay.
is really a tiny amount.
Right. So it's a really a tiny amount compared to the 3 log. Okay. So it's missing a teeny little bit. Now what happens? Shenafal letochan kortov yayin. And that exact drop that's missing from the 3 log that makes it less than 3 log, a drop of wine falls in. So now the question is, do we say this is wine or this is water? If it's wine, it doesn't possibly make it. If it's water, it passes it. Umar'ehen kimar'e'yayin. Right? They look like wine, meaning the wine was such a dark color that it turned the whole color of the water into wine. V'naflu la'mikvah, and it falls on the mikvah, lo paslubu. Because according to Tanakama, what do we follow?
Color.
The color, what it looks like. Gimel logi mayim shechaser kortov, shenafal letochan kortov chalav, umar'ehen kimar'e. Oh, sorry, he doesn't follow the mar'e. We're going to see, sorry. It sounds like he follows the Mar'e, but we're going to see he doesn't, okay? So he says, just hold off. So now he says, if it's missing a kortov, and a fala tochan kortov chalav, umar'ehen kemar'e mayim, and it looks like water, but it's chalav, v'naflu lemikvah lo paslu. Okay, according to Tanakama, the issue, it doesn't have to do with Mar'e, sorry, my mistake. It has to do with how much water, in fact, is there. And in both these cases, whether it looks like water or it looks like wine, it doesn't matter to us. Because the fact is, that's why he compares wine and chalav, because chalav is closer in color to the water and it wouldn't look any different. And yet, since it's missing the 3 log of mayim, it's missing volume, basically. We go by volume. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri omer, ha-kol holech achar mar'eh. He says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says it all goes by what it looks like. So if it looks like wine, we're going to call it wine. And it's not going to pass. If it looks like water, like in the chalav case, we're going to call it water and we're going to say this passes the mikvah. So he disagrees in the second case. So lav amar Rabbi Yochanan batar chazuta azlinan, ha-chanami batar chazuta. V'tama v'chazuta dahai mayaninhu. We're going to say that in the case of ad shelo hichmitz, we're going to assume that that mixture looked like water, and since it didn't ferment, it also tasted like water. Okay? And therefore, our Mishnah is going to follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, whereas Rav Nachman, who said that we go by, if eventually it's machmitz, he goes based on whether it's wine, right? Then you'd have to say that he goes based on whether it's right, what it actually is and not what it looks like, right? So then we would say, 1 second. Right, since we don't go by what it looks like, right, if at this point it hasn't fermented, it looks like water and it tastes like water, that doesn't affect Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, I want to know ultimately, will it ferment? And that's what he goes by. So if down the road it will ferment, he's going to go by that. He doesn't go by what it looks like at that moment. Okay. So now we're going to say that Rav Nachman, if we saw earlier, that what did Rav Nachman say? That the machloke, chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, we're now going back to the beginning, or earlier in the daf, the very beginning of Kafav. Rav Nachman said that the whole machloke between Rabbi Yehuda and chachamim and the Braita is based on mishechmitz machloke, right? Once it fermented, then they have a machloke. Everyone agrees, right, that before it ferments, right, we're going to say, right, that our Mishnah, ad shelo achmitz, everyone's going to agree it's not anything. So now we're going to say that comment, upliga de Rabbi Elazar, that disagrees with what Rabbi Elazar said. Amar Rabbi Elazar, ha'kol modim she'em mafrishin alav mimakom acher, ela im ken achmitz. He says everyone agrees that if you want to take Trumot Masra from this, okay, from the Temed, and let's say you have this Temed and you have some other wine, and you want to take from one on the other, because we're going to say the whole thing is wine. So what does he say? You can't be, now there's a concept. When you take Trumot Masra, if you want to take from one thing on another thing, it has to be that they both have the same status. They're both Chayav, or they're both, or, you know, I mean, if it's patur, you might say why, but you could be, say it's patur midoraita, but midorabana, they were machayev, or something like that. But you can't take from something that's not obligated maasrot on something that is, right? You have one pile of your temed, which is, let's say, nachayav, it hasn't been machmitz yet, and then you have your pile of stuff that has been. So you can't take from one on the other. So now he's going to say, "Ein mafrishin alav mimakom acher." You can't take truma de masro for this temed from somewhere else. Ela im kein hichmitz, unless it's already machmitz. Kasavar, he must hold, if he holds it, everybody agrees that you can't be mafrish unless it's machmitz. He must hold that once it's machmitz, everybody holds that you're chayav. And remember, the machloket was, are you chayav or not chayav? And Rav Nachman said, the machloket's only once it ferments, which means chachamim are going to say it's still patur. And because Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, you're chayav. But according to this, everyone agrees that once it ferments, you're chayav. Which can't possibly be then, mishech mitz machloket. The machloket must be before it's machmitz. So therefore, we're going to say like this. So therefore, Rav Nachman said, disagrees with Rabbi Elazar's approach here. Because Rabbi Elazar said, I'm going to read again from the beginning, Hakom odim she'em afreshin alav mimakom acher, elen kein achmitz. Kasavar, he must hold, below achmitz machloket. The machloket is, if it hasn't yet fermented, va'ad kan lo machayev Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda is machayev to take trumot ma'asrot b'shelo achmitz, why is he machayev b'shelo achmitz? Because maybe it will ultimately become fermented. And then, how do you take trumot ma'asrot according to Rabbi Yehuda then, if you're going to take ma'asrot before it's machmitz? Lo machayev Rabbi Yehuda ela minei ube. You can only take from it on itself, because it's suffek whether it's going to need trumot ma'asrot or not. Aval me'alma, but to take from some other temid, you can't. Dilma ati lefrushe min achiyuv ala patur min apatur ala chiyuv, because you might end up taking from one batch that's chayav, on another batch it's patur, or vice versa, and therefore, if you have this temed before hechmitz from Rabbi Yehuda's mechayev to take ma'asrot, he says you have to take it only from itself. You can't mix it with some other type of temed, because one might end up fermenting and the other might not. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, another issue about temed. Hatemed, okay, now we have another halacha. What's this called? Hashaka. What's hashaka? Hashaka is generally, we've talked about tumentara. When we have kelim that are tmeim, we can tovel them in a mikvah. We have people who are tmeim, they can tovel in a mikvah. But if you have food and drink that becomes tame, there's no way to purify those. Except for one exception, and what is that? Water. Because if you put tame water into a mikvah, it becomes batel to the mikvah, and the water becomes tahorim.
A mikvah that's already full of
food. A mikvah that's already full.
Because the mikvah's purified.
Exactly. And it just becomes part of the water. Food, you can't put that in a mikvah. It doesn't work. But water can. So now, again, the question is going to be with temed, is this water, is it wine? So, hatemet ad shelo hechmitz, if it hasn't yet become fermented, mishiko b'mayim. Right? You can... That's called hashaka, where it's like kissing, right? It kisses the water, it touches it. And then it becomes pure. Mishe hichmitz e mishiko b'mayim. Okay, but once it becomes fermented, you can't, because then it's wine. Amarava, lo shanu ela shetmado b'mayim tahorim v'nitme'u. It's only in a case where the water was tahor to begin with, and then you added the dregs to it, and then it became tameh. But if the water was tameh from the beginning, low. Okay? This wouldn't work. So now, okay, what is... Right, this... one second. You can't do this because... if it was mishech... One second. Right, he holds the hashaka doesn't work unless...
The water was in the same state as when it originally became tame.
So therefore... What do you mean, if it was in the same state? So therefore, kashe...
Therefore, when temed, water and whatever, is contaminated, that temed has legal status of water since it's not fermented and it may be purified.
But if they were... But let's do the other case. And as I understand why it would work, but if they became... Tameh on their own.
If the unadulterated, untemed water became tameh, it can't be purified if it's part of the temed, because you just have to separate it out again. That is, you can't put the great part in.
I didn't follow. Just one second. Let me just read it on my own so I can figure it out. Set. Fine. Let's read. So Rava again says, this only works if timdo b'mayim tahorim, right? They were first tahor, then the dregs came in. But if they were tameim to begin with, the water, then this wouldn't work. So let's let's hold off on the logic because we're going to see the Gemara is going to question this logic. So Amar Rav Gavia Bei Katiel, okay, from a place, Mi Bei Katiel, he was from the place called Bei Katiel. Amar L'shmatei Kamei D'Rav Ashi, so he said this in front of Rav Ashi, and he asked him, My shnat me'ime ikara dela. Why are you trying to say that if it's tame from the beginning, it wouldn't work? Damrinan, because you would say like this. I de demaya yakire shachna tatai. Since the mayim in the temet is heavier than the dregs, right? The dregs float, okay? Upere kape mila'el, and the fruit and the dregs float at the top. Velo kasalka lehu hashaka lemayim. And therefore, the hashaka doesn't work because, and as you want to get to the water, because the water was tame'im to begin with. So you have to get to the water, and the dregs are separating, right? If you want to talk about hashaka, kissing, so the dregs are floating at the top, and they're kind of blocking to get to the water where there was tohu'im. But if you want to say that that's the reason, right? But yet, if the whole temed had become temed, then it would work, because it's all connected. Ihachi tohu'imu levasof nitmu'unami. But the same logic would apply, even if they were tohu'im to begin with, and then became temed. Because still, you still have the dregs that are separating. It shouldn't matter the order. And as I tried to say, it sounded like you thought the order mattered, but it shouldn't really matter. Ella, he says, you must view it, since it works in the other case, you must view it as what? We never look at the dregs as if they're separating. How do we look at it? Mivalbele. We look at it as if the whole thing is one mixture. We don't look at this mixture of dregs with water as dregs at the top, water at the bottom. We view it as a whole combination, which we say hashaka works. So therefore he says, hachanami, also in the case where they were tameim in the beginning, mivalbele. We should view it as all one mixture, and therefore either which way hashaka should work. Okay, so that's the conclusion they come to. Okay, so new mission. Okay, we're continuing in. We're going to finish the parak soon. We're by the end of today. Kol makom sheyesh mecher ein knas. Right, we're continuing in all these cases of things that don't mutually exclusive. If you can sell your daughter, the age where one can sell his daughter to be a maid servant. Okay, if you remember in the Torah, you can sell your daughter until she's of, you know, 12. Right, the age of 12 in Tusimanim. You can sell her. Ein knas. There's no knas, okay, this is for if someone rapes, right, ones, somebody rapes a woman, then what happens? He's supposed to marry her because that was a way of protecting her, because otherwise no one would ever want to marry her. We've actually looked at it as a good thing, even though we are horrified by that thought. And he would have to pay a knas to the father. But that age kicks in only after the age of where a father can sell the daughter, okay? So there's no knas if she gets raped before that. We're going to see different opinions about this. Bekomakom sheyesh knas, ein mecher. Okay, but when you pay the knas, there's no mecher. So I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Zo divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, only Rabbi Meir holds by that, thankfully, because it very much limits the age of knas. Because knas, you would have to be, we've seen this before, where there's three stages. We talked about this very recently with the palgas, and right, that we have the age until age, right, usually from age 3 until age 12 with two simanim. That's a ktana. Then there's a 6-month period of a nara, and after that she becomes a bogeret. So that would limit, according to the Mishnah, the age range of the onus where he has to pay, the anas would have to pay a knas, is 6 months, basically. Okay? Aval chachamim amru, yesh knas bimkom mecher. They say there is knas, okay? Chachamim hold, you get knas the same time that there's mecher. Titania, how do we know this? And if they... in the age range, we're going to see this exactly. Ktana mi bat yom echad. In this case, they even say from a day old. Hard to imagine such a thing, but anyway, they're just saying at the youngest possible age. Ad shetavi shtei sarot, yesh la mecher ve'en la knas. Mi shetavi shtei sarot, ad shetibager, yesh la knas ve'en la mecher, divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, from the age she's born, she can be sold as a slave, okay? She can, as a maidservant. She could be sold somewhere. The idea was they'd be sold to someone and then they'd probably marry her, okay? Or marry them off to her son, to his son, okay? The owner would marry off to the son. That's from 0 to 12. Once she gets to 12 and shtei sarot, she can no longer be sold, and that's when the knas kicks in. Shaya Rabbi Meir Omer, komakom sheyesh mecher, ein knas, v'komakom sheyesh knas, ein mecher. Same thing as on our Mishnah. V'chachamim omrim, tana mi bat gimel shanim biyom echad, Ad shetibagir yesh la knas. He says from the age of 3 till bagrut, she gets knas, right? There's an assumption that a woman, okay, right, you might think it would be a much older age, but already at age 3, she's ro'oy lebi'ah, okay, and therefore, one can have sex with her, therefore, dinei ones kick in until bagrut, okay, so including that 6-month period. B'knas in mecher lo. So now they say, wait, based on Chachamim, it sounds like that period she only has knas and no mecher. But then when else can you sell her? So the Gemara says, no. Ema af knas b'mkom mecher. He holds that knas and mecher overlap. You can sell her the whole time that you can, right, the knas and the mecher overlap in terms of their timing. Okay, new Mishnah. Kol makom sheyesh mi'un ein chalitza. Kol makom sheyesh chalitza ein mi'un. Okay, we have to go back to all those things we learned about mi'un and chalitza. Mi'un is when father is no longer around to marry off the daughter, because if father marries the daughter, she's marrying midoraita. The father dies or is out of the picture. The mother or the brother, someone, an uncle, marries off the daughter, which doesn't have tokef midoraita to the marriage. Marries her off while she's a ketana. When she gets of age, up to a certain age, she's allowed to say, I don't want to be married to this man. She doesn't need a get. She doesn't need anything. She's not married. Chalitza is when you're supposed to do yibum, when the husband dies without kids, and then the wife, right, the husband doesn't want to marry, the brother doesn't want to marry the woman, right? He dies without kids, the brother's supposed to marry her, that's yibum. He doesn't want to do that, he does chalitza. So, the age range for mi'un, there's no chalitza, because chalitza is only when she's older. You can't do chalitza when she's young. V'chom kam sheyesh chalitza ein mi'un. Okay, and that's learned out because the brother has to be a gadol, and they say if he has to be a gadol, she has to be a gadola. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav, Zo Divrei Rabbi Meir. Again, this Mishnah makes sense, right? The last Mishnah only followed Rabbi Meir, this also only follows Rabbi Meir. Aval Chachamim Amrim Yesh Mi'um Mukom Chalitza. There is an overlap of ages. Titania Ab Matai Abat Mema'enet Ad Shtavi Shtei Sarot Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Shira Shachor La Lavan. He gives the woman, okay, Rabbi Yehuda gives the woman more time. Okay, it means until her pubic hair basically covers the whiteness of her skin. Okay, it means she has to be older, which probably is bagrut, okay? So she can do miun until the age of bagrut, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which would mean at that same age she can also do chalitza, and then there is an overlap. Okay, komakom, last topic. Komakom sheyesh tkiya, ein havdala. Komakom sheyesh havdala, ein tkiya. Okay, what does this mean? Before Shabbat, they would blow the shofar. Okay, they would blow the shofar to tell people that Shabbat's coming. Okay, look at Rashi. Arbe Shabbatot yamim tovim. They would blow the shofar so that people would know you have to stop working. They would also blow the shofar, right? They have a siren in Jerusalem that sounds at the time of candlelighting. It's based on this. Okay? So basically, so the people know, right? Earlier one to remind them, stop work, go home. Last one to say, okay, Shabbat's coming in. Also for Yom Tov. Now, what if Shabbat, Erev Shabbat is Yom Tov? Or, right, Erev Shabbat is Yom Tov, so you're going into Shabbat, or the reverse. Shabbat itself is Erev Yom Tov. So do you do that then? So what did they say? If there's Tkiyah, then you don't do Havdalah. Okay? On the days when you blow the Shofar, so we're going to see right now. Yom Tov Shechaliyop Erev Shabbat. If Yom Tov is on Friday, Tok'im. You are Tokeah, even though normally, right, Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to be Tokeah because it's a mitzvah. Here also, you're allowed to be Tokeah because it's a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? You want people to know that they have to stop, that they can't cook anymore. So because you're going into Shabbat and it's more chamor, you're tok'im b'lo mavdilim, and therefore you don't do havdalah in Kiddush. You know, in Kiddush, sometimes we do havdalah, that's only going from Shabbat to Yom Tov, right? But when you go from Yom Tov to Shabbat, you don't do havdalah. B'motzei Shabbat mavdilim b'lo tok'im, right? And on Motzei Shabbat, if Motzei Shabbat is Erev Yom Tov, then you do Havdalah, because you're going from a higher Kedusha to a lower Kedusha of Yom Tov, but you're not Tokim. Ketzah Mavdilim, so what's the Nusach of Havdalah? Hamavdil ben Kodesh lech Kodesh. Okay, because it's not Kodesh lechol. So you say Kodesh lech Kodesh. Rabbi Dosa Omer ben Kodesh Chamor lech Kodesh Hakal. Okay?
We don't do that.
Hechi Tokea, so now, how are you Tokea? There's a machloket. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Tokea Umiriya mitoch Hatkiya. Rabasi Amar Tokea Umiriya Benishima Achat. And one says you're Tokea and then you're Miriya. Rabasi says you're Tokea Miriya all in one breath. Okay, meaning Tkia, Trua, or Shvarim, or some kind of, you know, Miriya, like Trua. Itkin Rabasi Behutza Kishmate. Okay, he paskin, and as he made a takana in his city to do like he said, which is Tokea Umiriya Benishima Achat. Meitivin. Now they bring a contradictory source. Yom Tov Shachali Op Erev Shabbat Tokim Velo Miriim. Here it says, if Yom Tov falls on Erev Shabbat, you do the Tzkiah, but you don't do the Truah. My love, lo marim klal, it sounds like you don't do any Truah. And here, right, one said you do the Truah in one this way, and the other said you do the Truah in the other way. So they say, everyone explains according to their reasoning. Rabbi Yehuda Mataritz L'tameh, Rav Asa Mataritz L'tameh, Rabbi Yehuda Mataritz L'tameh, lo marim b'fnei atzma, ela mitoch Tzkiah. You don't do the Truah by itself, you do it from the Tzkiah. Rav Asi Mataritz L'tameh, lo marim b'shtei neshimot, ela b'neshima achat. And nobody thinks you don't do the Truah at all, it's just you do the Truah in a different way than you would normally do it. Ubimotzei Shabbat, okay, so now we're getting to this Motzei Shabbat. Hecha, where exactly do you say this, ben Kodesh le-Kodesh? What part of the tefillah, you know, of the Kiddush do you say it? Hechi Amarla, where do you say it? Amar Rav Yehuda bechatimata, at the end of the bracha. Bechen Amar Rav Nachman bechatimata. Rav Sheshet b'Reid Rav Idi Amar af b'ptikhata ve'leitel chatakavatei. Even in the wording before, like when we say Avdala, right, we say, there's a text that we say, right, we start the bracha, it's a long bracha, and then we end the bracha with Hamavdil b'kodesh l'chol. So they say, right, is it just the end, or is it also in the nusach before the end? Rabbi Dosa Omer ben kodesh chamor l'kodesh l'chol v'leitel chatakavatei. We know that, right? That's why we know that, because the Gemara says we don't paskin that way. Rabbi Zera, Yom Tov Shechal Liyot b'emsa Shabbat. What do you do on, right, this is a good question. Yom Tov ends up in the middle of the week. It ends. You do Havdalah. What do you say? Do you say, Hamavdil, right? You say, Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'chol, ubein or l'choshech, ubein Yisrael amim, ubein Yom HaShvi'i l'sheshe me'amaseh. Right? Wouldn't you think, you wouldn't say, ben Yom HaShvi'i l'sheshe me'amaseh, because that means, right, that's specifically a Nusach for Shabbat. So what are the answers? So they say, you do say that anyway. My taima, Seder Havdalot Humoneh. That is just saying God is mavdil between this and that, this and that, this and that. It's not specifically saying this right now. Okay, interesting way to end the parak. Hadron alacha kol shochatim. Finish the first parak of.